This is One-on-One with the Professional on AM 1400 K1, a sponsored opportunity to talk about the people, products, and services of a local business or political concern. This is a paid interview, and the statements and opinions expressed are those of the guests of the program and not necessarily those of the host or this station.
Good morning. It's 76 degrees already and a warm Monday, October 17th, 9:31 is the time, which means we've got 29 minutes to talk with Kurt Mead of Wellspring Life Clinic. Kurt and I have not been together before in the studio, so good morning, Kurt.
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm doing pretty well. Why don't you go ahead and explain to me, and I guess if anyone has never heard of this before, I know you're usually in here with Charlie, what exactly a Wellspring Life Clinic does and what we're going to be talking about today.
Sure, Evan, I'd be glad to. Well, Wellspring Life Clinic, we're a nonprofit organization, and we deal with the spiritual aspect of men and women, Evan. We look at the body, the soul, and the spirit.
Okay.
And so what we have is we're not a pet clinic, we're not an auto clinic, we're not a medical clinic, we're not even a church, but we're a spiritual clinic.
And so what does that mean specifically? What are you guys doing logistically day to day?
Okay, now what we do, Evan, we work on the fundamentals. You know, I think you know probably a little bit about sports.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. It depends on who you ask, but I'll say that I know something about it.
And Charlie and I, we've discussed about the fundamentals. You know, you go out in spring training and you work on hitting ground balls, taking batting practice, the pitching and this and that. Well, that's what we do, the spiritual aspect. We work on the fundamentals, the getting alone with the Lord, the time of prayer, to dedicate time to prayer. We talked about how in our society, Evan, we live in a high performance, high tech society, and it's just to slow our lifestyle down so we can really glean the most important things in life.
Okay, and then what are we talking about this week? It looks like it's awareness of times.
Okay, well, Charlie and I, we've been talking about discerning the signs of the times. Jesus talks about how people can discern the face of the sky. They can be great weather forecasters, but they have a problem discerning the signs of the times.
Okay.
And so what Charlie and I were doing, we were going to build a court case, bring forth the evidence, look at the witnesses, look at the proofs, and determine whether or not we can, by looking at maybe past histories, current conditions, can we project somewhat the future on where our society, where our world is going?
All right.
So what we're doing to do that, Evan, have you ever been to court before?
Luckily, I have not. No. I've watched some court, but no, I've never personally had to been to court.
Well, of course, in court, you have to have qualifying evidence. Mm-hmm. You have to have what is substantial and what's credible. Mm-hmm. And you have to present that evidence, and you have to, the judge and the jury need to come up with a determination if this evidence is viable, if it's credible, if it's a reliable source, is it accurate, is it factual.
Okay.
So you have to have qualifying evidence, and then you have to have non-qualifying evidence. I'm gonna put you on the spot, Evan.
Oh boy. Okay.
What might be non-qualifying evidence in court?
In court, oh, let's see. I know that they don't allow a witness to give expert testimony if they're not an expert, so I couldn't go and. Let's say I was a witness for someone and I was an alibi witness or something like that. I could only testify to where that person was. I couldn't testify, you know, on gun evidence or something like that if it was a murder case or something like that.
Well, how about say hearsay? You think that'd be qualifying or non-qualifying?
Hearsay. Non-qualifying.
Non-qualifying.
Yeah.
How about maybe a catchphrase such as separation of church and state? You know, so well, I've heard that priest or taught separation of church and state. You think a catchphrase would be qualifying evidence?
Probably not.
Probably not. Or how about maybe they might say, well, you know, in the name of tolerance and diversity, you know, name throwing, you think that might be qualifying or non-qualifying?
Probably non, again.
I love to put you on the spot. That's
okay,
fine.
No, you're good.
So what you have, non-qualifying and qualifying evidence. Well, you know, a falsifier, someone who's just a known liar, that would be a non-qualifying evidence. And so you have to have credible witnesses. You have to have non-credible witnesses. I mean, you don't have to have, but sometimes they surface to really come up with the truth and to have justice in the court system.
Yeah.
And you want the proof to be there if you're going to try the case. You know, attorney looks at the case, he hears the witnesses, he looks at the facts, and he has to determine whether or not they have a case. And then once they determine that, then they bring that before the court. They bring that before the judge. Mm-hmm. And so probably the thing we want to look at this morning is getting to the point of determining. We're just more or less kind of laying the groundwork for future one-on-ones, Evan.
Okay.
And what we do at the clinic to tie this into what we're talking about this morning, we pay or we heed strict attention to details. You know, if you got something in the mail and you noticed the return address said the Washington County Courthouse, would that be something you'd toss in the trash or to the side, or would you open it?
Well, hopefully you'd open it. Now, some people may toss it to the side, though, especially if they've had a few of them or something.
That's true. Or how about if you had something stamped IRS? You know, would you throw that to the side? Or
well,
would
that I'd want to throw to the side, but I guess I'd probably look at it as well.
And you know, there's certain things in our life, in our society, that we give strict attention to detail. What's your favorite ball team?
I'll go Oklahoma State football right now.
Oklahoma State. Well, if you had a return address and it was Stillwater, Oklahoma, that'd be something you'd toss aside or open up.
Well, I owe them some money still, so it depends. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'd look at it for sure.
Look at it for sure. So there's things that we're very careful with, but there are things that we're careless with. And there at the clinic, you know, it's so important that we want people to pay strict attention to the spiritual side of their life. So often we cast the things of importance aside. We cast the qualifying evidence aside, and we consume our life with non-qualifying evidence.
Sure.
And we build our life on that. You know, we build our life on the here and now. We build our life on the self-gratifications, on what makes us feel good, what makes us look good. You know, and that can be a proof or an evidence that maybe our society is where it's at today.
Yeah.
You know, we sometimes rail on our presidential candidates, but sometimes I kind of wonder maybe are we getting what we deserve? You know, and if we are, maybe can we make a change? What can we do? And that's what we did at the clinic. We pay strict attention to details. What's going on in our society? What's going on in me personally? Mm-hmm. What am I doing personally, spiritually? How do I get from point A to point B? Do I really want to change, or am I satisfied where I'm at?
Okay.
And so what we do is we do a lot of, you're probably too young to remember, but we had mail order catalogs. You had Montgomery Ward's. You had the pennies.
And my grandma had an L.L. Bean catalog.
L.L. Bean, yeah.
Order Christmas gifts from.
Yep. Yeah. And as a kid, you'd go through it and look at the toy section over and over and over until Christmas, and hopefully Santa would bring you certain things out of the catalog and whatever. But anyway, there one of the catalogs that was either Penny's, Ward's, or Sears that have products, and they have good, better, or best.
Right.
And which you suppose would be the least expensive?
Probably the good.
And sometimes the good wasn't so good. And then you had the better, and then you had the best. Well, that's what we look at the clinic. The good is hearing. You know, we're talking right now, and we're picking up about a fourth of what each other's saying. The listening audience, they're hearing about a fourth of what's actually being said. That's good. You know, if it's reliable information, if it's things we need to know about it, that's good. It's good. But to get to the better, we need to read something. You know, when you read something, it sticks in your mind far better than if you would just hear it.
So it's something that sticks rather than just going in one ear and out the other.
That's it. Something that sticks. You know, if you're there listening, and say you're sitting in a setting, and the spokesman is giving a dynamic message, just because it's dynamic, the person listening his mind might be on hunting, or maybe on the next game he's going to watch on TV or whatever. I mean, you never know by looking at a person if they're listening. So when a person is reading something, they're going from the good to the better.
Right.
Well, what we do at the clinic, we work on the best. We were talking about while ago, Evan, about paying strict attention to detail. Mm-hmm. Well, the best to me, if we have qualifying evidence, if we know something is true, we know something is right, we know something is honest and just, well, how do we go from good to better to best? Well, what we do at the clinic, we journal, we write it. If you write something, it sticks more than if you would read it.
Sure.
And especially more than if you would hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So here in our society, we make assumptions that, well, you know, I'm all right, you know, I'm okay. And we just make these assumptions. It's kind of like, well, the weather looks nice today, Evan. What do you mean it's going to be stormy and cloudy tomorrow? I mean, it's sunshiny out there. Mm-hmm. How can you prove that to me?
Well, but, I don't know. It's a good question.
But, you know, you look at past histories, you look at the current conditions, and you see how the weather patterns are. And Charlie gets on the radio, and we have the weather spotters, and we have those who got storm chasers, and they're telling us what's taking place, and we're depending upon their information to give us accurate, you know, details so we can make those proper decisions.
And it's hard and not always right sometimes.
It's not always right.
Yeah.
That's right. So we go back to court, and that's why you have they examine the court case and they cross-examine the court. You know, they cross-examine witnesses. You have the witnesses, you examine, you cross-examine, you have the opening arguments, you have the closing arguments. And that's where what we do at the clinic is we want to lay things out so people really actually understand where they're at spiritually, mentally, physically, so they can make the proper adjustments or changes that will get them from point A to point B.
Okay.
But it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time because did you graduate from OSU?
I did.
And probably one of the things that you learned more than anything else was discipline. You had to discipline yourself. You had to discipline your time.
Mm-hmm.
You had to discipline your finances. Yeah. You had to discipline your sleep habits, which, did you do that?
I'm still working on that last one, but yeah, the other two.
So, you know, it takes discipline, and it's so easy in our society is to live a non-disciplined life and still, you know, get by and function. But there at the clinic, we have the certain disciplines. We have certain fundamentals that people work on. And it's really, Evan, it's not for everybody, but it's for those who really, they want to see some growth and some fruitfulness in their spiritual man.
Okay.
Because we're created three-dimensional. We're created with our body, our soul, and our spirit. Our body is basically our shell. Like a peanut has a shell, our body is just a shell. It deteriorates day by day. But within that shell, we have the nut. No pun intended. I'm not looking at you or looking at me.
But fair enough.
Fair enough. You know, you have the meat. Well, that's the second dimension. That is our soul. That's our personality. That's who makes us us. You know, don't slap me, but I'm a St. Louis and Los Angeles Rams fan. I've been ever since I was a kid.
Sure.
So
you're happy they moved from St. Louis to Los Angeles?
Oh, I guess so.
Okay.
You know, I guess so.
You'll still follow them.
Yep. Just because that's where they were when I was a boy. And
sure.
So I can kind of identify with that.
Uh-huh.
So you have and that's my personality, what my likes, my dislikes, you know, this and that. That's the soul part of my being. So you got, uh-huh, the body, soul, but the spirit. If we see the Word of God as the reliable source, as the creator of all creation, the third dimension is our spiritual man. And we're told in the Word that the spiritual man is dead at birth and it needs to be born again. Jesus, you've seen that scripture at the ball games, John 3:16.
You know, yeah.
And then, for God so loved the world. Well, that's getting into the spiritual dimension of man, and that's what we work on at the clinic, the spiritual dimension of man, and we pay strict attention to detail. And Charlie and I, we've evolved from the restful part of the clinic, where we talk about the rest, how so important, Evan, to get that spiritual rest, how to have that quiet time, that deliberate quiet time, so that we're restored.
Mm-hmm.
And we used Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me, you know, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, when you were a kid, your parents, they made you go to bed at a certain time because they knew it was for your own health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. I still need to make myself go to bed at a certain time.
Do you need to set your alarm in the morning?
Yes. Yes, I do. I get up pretty early. I got to set that alarm. Do you set an alarm?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I have to set my alarm. And you know, if you get up early like I do and like you do, sometimes you just naturally get up. So, you know, you have to have these, you have to have these disciplines to be working our life for these changes to actually be manifested. So we pay strict attention to details, and we do what needs to be done, Evan, on getting the person from point A to point B.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're just laying a foundation for the truth and justice at the clinic, and also here on one-on-one, we lay forth the evidence, the you know, if I take you to court or you take me to court, maybe I say, you know, Evan's property line is over on my property line, and they have to have that determination.
Right.
Well, what are they going to do to determine that? How are they going to determine who has the right property line?
Surveyor, perhaps, something like that?
Surveyor. He'd come out. So you'd have to have useful and you'd have to have constructive evidence. You'd have to have something that is relevant.
Yeah.
And so what we're talking about, Evan, is in this spiritual aspect, we're talking about a case for honor and virtue. You know, when you have you watched any of the presidential debates?
Unfortunately, yes.
What's your perspective so far?
That I don't want to watch the next one.
and one thing, you know, you don't really hear too much about honor. You don't hear too much about virtue. You hear more about slamming the opponent, talking about their faults are greater than my faults, and sure, I made some mistakes, but blah blah blah. Well, we don't hear about righteousness much in our society. What do you suppose it is? Why do you think that we don't hear too much about honor and virtue? Why don't we hear about righteousness much anymore?
I don't know. I guess they think that they can score bigger points being negative.
And can you?
You have to ask a political person. I don't know. Maybe. They always say that they run those negative ads because they work, but they're certainly not fun to watch. So I don't know.
And you know, and we know in football, it can work, but it's kind of like you're trying to build your offense by your defense. Mm-hmm. You know the negative is the defense. Say, well, we're going to score points on defense. Let's just forget about our offense. Is that going to work?
Probably not.
You know, they're focusing on the negative, and not on the positive. Can you imagine? Say we use what's one of the things I'm gonna put you on the spot again. What's one of the qualifiers? What book do they bring out in court? I don't know if you see it much anymore, but you lay your hand on the book and they say, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?"
The Bible.
The Bible. It's not a fairy tale book they bring out. It's not Aesop's Fable. Why do you suppose they bring the Bible out?
I don't know. Make people serious about it, I guess.
Make them serious about it. To let them know that's going to be the standard of truth.
Yeah.
So if that's the standard of truth, who do you suppose probably the most important man in the Bible is?
God.
Okay. Who? What's another name for him?
Jesus.
That's it. You hit the nail on the head. So say if he... So we'll consider him qualifying evidence. We'll consider him as a witness. You think he'd be a viable witness?
I would think so.
What would it be like, suppose that you lived during the time of Jesus, what would it be like if you invite him to dinner?
I don't know.
You think it could be kind of dangerous?
I wouldn't hope that it's dangerous.
If you knew that he could read your every thought.
Well, I guess that's dangerous in a way, sure.
If he would weigh every word you say against truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if he would look at your motives and your intents.
Mm-hmm.
If he could see right through us. I mean, you think that would be kind of dangerous?
It'd be scary for sure.
it'd be scary. And that's, you know, that's what truth is all about. When the truth is laid out in court, who do you think's more scared, the person who is innocent or the person who's guilty?
I think the guilty person is much more scared.
Well, you think he could bluff his way through?
Maybe if he was a good bluffer. Some people seem to get by okay. It happens.
Or maybe if he had a good attorney or whatever. Maybe sometimes that happens in day and age. So we realize in court that the place of the witness is very important, and the place of knowing what's the standard of truth is important, Evan. And we live in such a society nowadays that it's easy to be careless with what's important. And so if you go to court, if they say, Evan, you were you were going 50 through a school zone, but you knew you were doing the limit. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd want to have the evidence to know, no, Judge, I was not doing 50. I was doing 20. Mm-hmm. You know, and he'd say, well, what's the proof? And you'd have to present proof. You'd mm-hmm. have to present the evidence. And if you look through all the qualifying evidence we talked about, all through what we talked about the Bible being a qualifying evidence in court, look at all the words that are court terms. You got judge, mm-hmm. you got justice, you got witnesses, testimonies. So why do you suppose we're careless with that?
I don't know.
You think it might be because of maybe unbelief or maybe assumptions or presumptions?
Sure.
Could be. Just not really thinking that what is taking place today is you know, it's more relevant than what will take place in the future. Mm-hmm. And like Charlie and I, we talked about another this thing would be a non-qualifying evidence would be the element of time. And we brought out how we looked at some of the credible witnesses. We looked at a man named Enoch. Have you ever heard of Enoch?
I think I've heard it on this station and one-on-one, and that's about it.
Well, Enoch, he was the seventh generation from Adam, yet Jude, thousands of years later, several thousand years after Jesus walked the earth, he said that Enoch prophesied that when the Lord cometh. So I was sharing with Charlie that then time would be a non-qualifying evidence. You can't, there won't be any, what's that term where if someone commits a crime, then so much time passes. And
a statute of limitations.
That's it. There won't be statutes of limitation because time will be a non-qualifier. It doesn't matter. If you're looking at eternity, it doesn't matter. You say, well, you know, I was a bad person yesterday, Judge, but, you know, I'm basically a good person today. You know, sure, I committed that murder 5 years ago, but, you know, does statute of limitations apply, or I stole this, that? Well, when you go to court, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. You know, if I commit the crime, I'm still guilty.
Yeah.
So we're looking at things that would be qualifying evidence, non-qualifying evidence, paying strict attention to detail. And by doing that, Evan, by slowing ourselves down and understanding exactly what's taking place in our life, it'll help us make proper and accurate determinations in life.
Okay.
So what we're going to do in the future, whether you're here or Charlie's here, we're going to present elements of truth in court. We'll take a court position. And when you go to court and you present this truth, you have to have Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C. And I think for the third time, I will put you on the spot.
Okay.
if I ask you this question, Evan, you know, and Exhibit A, we're going to look at universal violence. And I say, Evan, in your opinion, in your, you know, what you, in your lifetime, I just am going to ask you, do you think that violence, universal violence, is it more aggressive today than it was possibly 20 years ago?
I don't know. I couldn't even possibly answer. I'll say yes.
And, you know, that's probably something we really don't know for sure, but if you go to court to present the evidence, then mm-hmm. the jury has to come up with their own determination.
Right.
And in court, you're either convicting someone or you're letting them off the hook.
Right.
So what we need to do is present the evidence and let the listening audience decide for themselves, is this guy on one-on-one, is he speaking the truth, or is he just out in left field picking daisies?
Right.
So that's what we'll do in the future. We'll look at some of the evidence, and we'll look at some of the exhibits, and look at the past histories. We'll look at the current conditions so that we can make future projections. And I know, Evan, we just have about 5 minutes left, but mm-hmm. what we want to look at, and what we do at Wellspring is, you know, court, it has a negative effect on people. You talk about going to court and this and that, and it's kind of like getting a letter from the IRS, and yeah. we don't want to do that at the clinic. I don't want to do that on one-on-one. I want to project hope for tomorrow. You know, you turn on the nightly news, and you listen to the newscast, and you can think in your mind that we're living in a world of hopelessness and despair, but really we're not. There is hope out there, but we need to know where that hope is available and how to get that hope.
And if someone was interested in getting involved with Wellspring Life Clinic, how could they do so?
They could call me at 918-397-0284. That's 397-0284. We're right next. We're just south of the RX Express.
Okay.
On Chalwell, 132 Southeast Chalwell. Right across the street from us, I always plug our sponsors. We have the Aaron's Automotive. He's at 137 Chalwell, just an excellent auto mechanic. And then we have K&M Lawn Care. They do small engine repair. They do lawn care. They do brush hogging. They're out of Dewey. And if a person would like to get a hold of them, their number is 534-8045. That's 534-8045. We also have a Davis Family Funeral Home. They're a sponsor, and I appreciate their sponsorship. And I would like to thank them for sponsoring us, Davis Family Funeral Home, and also the, I think that may be all right now, Evan, but I do have personal sponsors I'd like to thank on the air for keeping us going. We've been going on now for, I think we're, it's been 3.5 years. We've been on the air for a little over 2 years, and, and I appreciate K1, and I appreciate what you guys do up here, and allow us to come in and kind of express what's going on there at Wellspring.
Well, I appreciate you coming by. We've still got a couple more minutes left, if you still have a couple more things you want to talk about.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll just, in the, like I said, in the near future, we're going to look at this court case, and those who are listening will kind of determine if there are some things taking place in today's society which maybe need to be corrected, and maybe in my own life, you know, what do I need to correct? And that's what we do at Wellspring. We're there to journal. We're there to have that alone time. We have very cutting edge instructional videos and that type of thing, Evan, and if a person just wants to come by and check us out and see what's going on, I'd be glad to give them a tour and kind of break down what we're doing.
How often are you guys there?
Well, I'm there, my hours are normally, I'm there from about 10:30 until about 1 or 1:30, and then of course if a person wants to set up an appointment, they can call me anytime at the phone number I gave, the 397-0284 number, and I'll be glad to meet him there and just kind of show them what's going on.
And I would guess that if you call up the station, we can give you Kurt's information as well. And what day will you be back up here again, Kurt?
Well, what's going to happen, Evan, I'm up here the first, third, and when there's a fifth Monday, the fifth Monday of the month.
Okay.
So I'm going to be up here, including today, 3 out of the next 4 Mondays.
Okay, well, there you go. So they won't have to wait very long to get their juror hats on and make those decisions, I guess. They can have jury duty at home, which is better than having to go to jury duty regularly. Have you ever had to go to jury duty?
3 times. I was summoned, I guess you might say, but I got off all 3 times.
You got off all 3 times? I've
twice
never had
here.
To go.
Oh, well, you're...
I was a student, so I guess that's something in my professional life that maybe I'll have to deal with later on. Kurt Mead from Wellspring Life Clinic. Kurt, go ahead and give that phone number one more time if someone's interested in calling you.
Okay, appreciate it, Evan. 918-397-0284. That's 397-0284.
All right.
Evan, I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Kurt. We'll visit with him in a couple more Mondays here on K1.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1. Do you know your Medicare rights and responsibilities? Call Phoenix Insurance and find out. 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.
It's 76 degrees and 10 o'clock on KWON.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. New numbers out this morning spell out a record graduation rate at the nation's high schools. White House correspondent Pam Coulter says President Obama visits a Washington school today to tout the report.
For the fourth straight year, the nation's high school graduation rate has increased, now hitting a record high of just over 83%. All groups of students, minorities, the disabled, and low income improved. Education Secretary John King said it's not just a number.
It represents real students in real cities, towns, and rural communities who are better prepared for success in college and careers. It represents greater opportunity.
He partially credits the more than $14 billion the administration spent on encouraging higher standards, preschools, and struggling schools. Pam Coulter, CBS News, Washington.
Now to Hillsborough, North Carolina, where there have been no arrests in the fiery attack on a Republican Party headquarters. Threatening graffiti was found nearby. State GOP leader Dallas Woodhouse calls it an act of political terrorism.
When people try to stifle freedom of speech, you must come back with more speech and aggressively defend your rights.
I'm Jim Crisula in North Carolina. Troubled by the attack on the Orange County Republican headquarters, some Democrats set up a GoFundMe page to raise money for repairs. Some $13,000 was pledged in less than an hour. The North Carolina Democratic Party issued a statement condemning the attack, saying violence has no place in politics.
In morning tweets, Donald Trump says Republican leaders are naive for dismissing his claims of voter fraud and a rigged election. Both sides are now prepping for this week's final presidential debates. Politico Playbook co-author Jake Sherman hopes personal attacks will be put aside.
The thing I am looking forward to and looking toward on Wednesday is this is going to be a debate that has a lot of foreign policy substance. That's not happened so far.
Overseas, a senior Iraqi commander says the military effort to recapture the city of Mosul from ISIS is going well. CBS's Holly Williams is with Kurdish forces.
Pro-government Iraqi forces have moved in position around the outside of Mosul, and they include the Iraqi army, Kurdish fighters, and Sunni militiamen. The U.S. coalition is also involved in this fight.
Several arrests have been made in the shooting death of Olympic sprinter Tyson Gay's 15-year-old daughter. WLEX-TV's Connor McHugh in Lexington, Kentucky.
Two cars exchanged gunfire, and it appears she might have just been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Trinity Gay was a standout high school sprinter on her own. Amid reports of creepy clown sightings in several states, the retailer Target says it will stop selling clown masks in stores and on its website. But clown costumes for kids will still be sold. Dallas down 14. This is CBS News.
Fire the stockbroker and hire yourself. I'm Larry Levin, and I've been on the trading floor for 23 years. I was one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. I'm also the president of Trading Advantage, the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional day traders. Now, for a limited time, I'm offering one of the trading techniques I use to make $1.9 million for free. Get started right now by calling 800-288-0092. Leave your email address on my voicemail, and I'll email you my free trading technique and my daily insider market report at no cost to you. This is the very information I use to build my fortune.
I was getting ready to retire. I still needed to make extra income, but I didn't want to work for anyone else. Because of Larry and his excellent instructors, I could trade successfully for myself, and I'll never have to work for someone else again.
Fire the stockbroker and hire the most dependable person you know, you. Again, call in the next 90 minutes and leave your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-288-0092. That's 800-288-0092.
Time now for news right here on K1. I'm Ben Nicholas. From the Osage Casino Studios in Bartlesville, eat, stay, and play at Osage. Federal investigators say the woman accused of driving her car into spectators at Oklahoma State University's homecoming parade and killing four people sped up as she approached the parade route. The National Transportation Safety Board said Thursday that coworkers who saw a 26-year-old at DeSia Chambers before the crash said she seemed distracted. The NTSB said her, quote, emotional distress was the probable cause of the crash on October 24th, 2015. The report says Chambers' car accelerated from 54 miles per hour to 59 miles per hour in the 5 seconds before she struck a police motorcycle, blocking the roadway. The NTSB says she applied the brakes after hitting the motorcycle, though the report does not say how fast she was driving when she hit the crowd. Chambers has pleaded not guilty to 4 counts of second-degree murder. The city of Bartlesville has announced a lane closure for this week. An asphalt relay will close the north and southbound lanes on Penn Avenue, just north of 16th Street, beginning today. According to City Communications Officer Kelly Williams, the relay is needed after a water main break in the area a few weeks ago, which damaged a portion of the roadway. Water Department officials say the project should take about 3 days to complete. Both lanes will be closed to through traffic for the duration of the project. Williams encourages you to take an alternate route. The Bartlesville Regional United Way, a local nonprofit that focuses on building lives in the areas of education, income, and health, has announced Lisa Carey as its new president and CEO. Carey will begin her role at the Bartlesville Regional United Way on November 3, 2016. Sarah Freeman, board chair of the Regional United Way, says, quote, bringing Lisa on as our new president and CEO speaks volumes. Lisa's background and leadership experience are held in high regard, and we are eager for her to get acclimated to the United Way and our partner agencies. For more information on that story, along with others, log on to our website, BartlesvilleRadio.com.
¶¶ Broadcasting from the number one news network in North America, it's the show for the next generation of Americans. It's Kilmeade and Friends.
Instead of being held accountable, Hillary is running for president.